Hello, friend. On today's show, calming puppies, babies finally get instructions, Mississippi's got new proof that the Earth's older than 6,000 years, and finally, a man transforms. That's coming up. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the aftertimes. You get what I'm talking about. So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world? You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
That button. Well, there's not enough noise here. We need more noise.
Be careful what you ask for, because if Bradley comes in,
That's true.
That's never good.
Come back and make a scene.
He will drag up a chair, quite literally.
As loudly as possible. That's right.
Unlike our Canadian friends who just popped in to say, Manamana.
And Doug immediately. He's like, I knew it. And then he goes, sorry, and left. Hi, you're listening to Two Beers In, a podcast about the evils of whiskey. The love of the good things in life. I am your host, Brett Weaver, enjoying?
You're enjoying a back porch tea.
Yes. That's not as dirty as it sounds.
No. It's got a lovely sprig of mint.
Very nice.
Yes. Frothy.
And before this, I had a Capri Sun.
Yes, so I can attest.
That's right.
That's not a fancy drink name or anything like that. It was an actual
Capri
pouch
Sun.
Yeah. Of Capri Sun.
And it turns out Brett is five.
I said, I'm this mini, and I'm still flashing the five.
Yes. We had to get it for him because he was upset. He had dropped his animal crackers. And
you promised we weren't going to talk about that.
I'm your other co-host, Monica Ballard, and I'm enjoying a dark and stormy.
Ooh,
it's a rum drink.
Yes, and there's Doug over there.
Hey! Nice seeing you guys here. I'm having a citrus IPA. I forget the name of.
Sure. We're very glad to be here at the Crowded Barrel Fang and Feather. Which is it? Is it Fang and Feather at the Crowded Barrel, or is it the Crowded Barrel at the Fang and Feather? We're here at what he just said.
Fang and Feather tasting room.
That's what we did.
We're at the Fang and Feather tasting
room.
Over
at the Wizard Academy.
Yes.
In Driftwood, Texas.
Driftwood.
Down in south of Austin.
Yes.
A place that Monica and I, Doug hates the place, but Monica and I.
It's got a cool castle.
We absolutely love it.
Yes.
We've been coming here for a very long time.
We have.
And we thought that this would be a good time to come here.
Seen a lot of changes.
That's right.
And they're still going on.
About to open up a new visitor center.
Yes.
Yes.
It's going to be a coffee, an infused coffee and tea place.
Infused with what?
With alcohol.
Nice.
Yes.
I was hoping it'd be like CBD. That would be fantastic.
You know, this place, I remember when it was just beer and wine.
Mm-hmm.
And our founder would say, no hard beverages, no hard liquor.
Boy,
for the longest
time.
And then when Daniel Whittington joined, he was the one who brought the whole whiskey tribe into the situation, along with Rex Williams,
yes,
Roy's son. And so, yeah, now we're all about the whiskey.
Now it's all about the whiskey. It's all about the new places that are being built.
Yeah.
It's all about the delicious food trucks that are out
here.
It's all about the bastards that are worthless.
Yes, they are. They are.
That is something you'll have to look up. I'm not even going to explain
anymore.
Not one
of them is sold for any appreciable amount.
No.
They're worthless.
Not at all.
That's right. So we're happy to be here. Maybe people walk up. Started a fourth mic just in case somebody goes.
And might I just say, I'm digging on the new microphone pop filters.
Yes.
the colors. I feel like I'm about to dive into a lemon sorbet.
That's
yeah,
right.
I mean, they look delicious.
They do.
Well, and Doug looks like he's got a clown nose. That was my, that was what I was going for. So, yeah,
hey,
we got
kids.
We got four.
Hey, kids.
We've got four stories that we can talk about. You know what? I'm going to talk about a first story just because I'm not even going to talk about it on the Patreon. I'm going to talk about it here.
Okay.
Coming this December.
Here we go.
At the Driscoll Hotel, Brett Weaver is Hans Gruber in Die Hard, the radio play. Yep, that's happening. I just got the note today that I was cast in it. And so, if you're in Austin and it's Christmas time, reach out to pinfoldtheater.org, see where it's happening, get your tickets. There's only going to be three
shows. Seriously, get your tickets.
It's
because
so good.
It will sell out.
It will.
Way in advance.
Yes. Last year, not only did both shows sell out, we went from 110 seats to 150 seats
yep.
in the room
yep.
and sold those out.
And I still got COVID.
That's
right.
And
couldn't see it.
And that's because, well, no, I won't tell
you. But
you
know why? Yeah. You know why? It was like I was saving myself for this coming year.
Absolutely.
Now I can go into it unfettered.
Yep, fresh.
Fresh.
And you're like, so what happens in the end?
Yeah.
Why does he say yippee-ki-yay? Here's the great thing about the show. It is PG-13.
Okay.
So it's been rewritten to be PG-13.
Okay.
And all that that entails. So, yeah. Okay, let's get on with the first story.
Yes.
One key to success for the U.S. women's gymnastic team, which just won a bunch of medals
yeah.
just a couple of weeks ago,
uh-huh.
Is that they have a support dog to calm nerves.
Wow.
What's great about this is Monica is able to see this stuff. Doug never gets to see the topics.
The stories in advance.
So a lot of these, now that we're in a room that actually has lighting, unlike the Aristocrat Lounge on Burnett Road in Austin, Texas, I can actually see Doug's reactions. So the U.S. women's gymnastic team has won 8 medals, which may be down to the excellence of the effervescent Simone Biles, of course. Though
and her support dog, Sparky.
It also may have furrier explanations.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All through the games, Beacon, the golden retriever, has been within petting distance of one of the 5 members who may feel some pre-performance jitters.
Isn't a furrier a person who sells animal coats?
Yes.
Okay. Poor dog.
I was thinking that too. It's like that dog has a weird double job.
Well, poor dog.
Yeah. Hey, Beacon, you better live up to your hype or else.
Yep, I'm a furrier.
Yep.
Yeah. There was a spot earlier today that I read that the church where I worked at says, tell us your furry stories.
Oh, no.
And it was about their pets. And I was like, And so I was just going to put a picture up of my, Tora, the tiger that I played. Just put, not that. I'm sorry.
Let me try the other furry stories.
Wrong conventions.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, news of the scope. So at the time, the news of, the scope of sexual harassment and exploitation of Olympic gymnasts by the former team doctor had already been in the news for 2 years. So Beacon has been with the team since it was undergoing Olympic trials in Minneapolis. With so many young, hopeful gymnasts sitting jittery on the sidelines waiting for their turn, what could have been better for their nerves than a big, oafish golden retriever walking by and sticking its big old blonde schnoz in their hand?
You have no more doctor, but here's a dog.
Yes. This dog will
here's the next best thing.
You know what?
You know, if you sprain something, Beacon, not so helpful.
Can't help you.
Except,
look at
that
face.
I've got a Charlie horse. Let him lick it.
Look at that face.
I know.
So Tokyo Olympic all-around champion Suni Lee posted a picture of herself with the shiny nose pooched from the trials. Thank God for Beacon. Read her caption, helping launch him to stardom.
Aww.
The team with Beacon at the Olympic Trials in Minneapolis. Okay, that was the picture.
Nope.
So he is a professional stress dog and therefore, of course, has an official Instagram account.
Of course.
His trainer is the former rhythmic gymnastics coach, Tracy Callahan Molnar, who says that the dog has incredible powers of intuition and empathy. He will find exactly which member of the team is most nervous to go on and humps them.
No, wait, that's not right.
Offers his services as a comfort dog should they accept.
And services is not even in air quotes or any other quotes.
Services.
It's just services.
It's funny. All my friends are professional stress dogs, but it means something different.
Okay.
That it's such a clever thing. I'm like, well, of course that makes sense. Next, I think theaters should have it too. Have theater dogs.
Yeah, because because dogs are so amiable and controllable backstage.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad that you saw my point.
Yeah. I guess if Beacon was a professional stress animal. He was used to being quiet at certain times. And having gone through training in Minneapolis, he was probably used to several things going on at once.
Okay.
Crowd eruptions and applause and that sort of thing. And that. So, okay. All right.
Were you skeptical in the beginning?
Well, just in the sense of if Simone falls from the balance beam.
Sure.
Send the doctor.
Is Beacon going to start barking furiously or something like that?
I think the problem with the article was that one line. Like, okay, why are you telling us this?
Yeah.
You know, and I remember seeing it as I was copying in. I'm like, maybe I should cut that. And then I was like, nah, we'll put it in. And now I go, yeah.
It kind of feels like a sitcom episode, really.
Yeah. You know, there was sexual harassment, but now here's a dog.
Here's a dog.
Yeah. On a very special blossom.
Oh, Beacon.
And that's what we'll call the sitcom.
Yes.
Oh, Beacon.
Next article. You want to do this one?
Sure. Babies don't come with instructions.
What?
But in Oregon, they now come with a nurse.
Hello, nurse.
Hello,
nurse.
Oregon has recently become the first state in the U.S. to offer free nurse visits to new mothers and fathers statewide. No one can deny that the U.S. and its citizens have an array of problems and are facing major challenges, but one of which isn't well reported. But one which is not well reported on is the high rates of death among infants and new mothers compared to other high-income countries.
Hmm.
Oh, thanks for this feel-good story here.
Yep. Keep going.
Okay. Oregon's home visit program called Family Connects is based on a successful model deployed in Durham, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and involves a nurse visiting the home of a mother who has just given birth. Probably not just given birth. But,
well, nine.
Whether to a first child or her fifth, up to three times in the first month. Family Connects is an opt-in program that comes at no cost to the family, and the nurse is empowered to connect the family with any additional service they may need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're going to need a damp cloth for that, sweetie.
Yeah. Oh, that stain, I'm sorry, honey. That stain is not going to come out.
You should not have used that high thread count sheet for this home birth. So whether that's counseling, psychiatric care, financial assistance, or even, as NPR reports, a hearing aid for a grandparent looking after the child.
Huh?
So,
hey,
I can't hear the kid cry. Hey, look what it is.
Hey, Wallace.
yeah, right. The important one.
Hey, you just missed the dog story, Wallace. Okay. Family physician Dr. Steiner wasn't in charge of creating it or setting policy, but advocated it for it in government. She remembers developing severe postpartum depression after the birth of her daughter and thought that if one of the Family Connects nurses had visited her, it would have been an enormous help.
Mm-hmm.
To wit, so the article states.
To wit.
To wit,
yes.
Comma. A study of family... Oh, God.
A study of Family Connects mothers found that those who avail themselves of a nurse visit were 30% less likely to develop postpartum anxiety or depression. Undoubtedly, one reason for this is the opportunity for the new parents to ask the nurse anything they want. That's...
Yes.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah. Even the most embarrassing questions that they probably didn't think of until it was time. And now, now it's kind of like, wait, now the baby's mouth goes where?
Yeah.
And you diapered the wrong end.
And really, it was totally normal that I was pooping during birth? Yeah. Is that...
So the state's trying to keep infants alive count is up to two now.
Yeah.
We've got North Carolina and Oregon.
Good for them.
All right, on our way.
Yay. Additionally, the program's early data witnessed a reduction in child protective services interventions and investigations among families who had nurses visit them during the first few weeks of life. The reasons behind these improvements are simple. Dr. Steiner told NPR, babies are just hard. Except for that part of the skull.
Just keep that part protected.
Not so hard.
The rest part, you're going to be fine.
So one of the nurses in the Oregon State program, Barb Ibrahim, has to drive sometimes as long as 30 to 40 minutes to visit new patients.
Sure.
Exactly the reason that Dr. Steiner believed the program was best suited to the state government, as there are many people who live far from any major medical centers. Not everybody lives in Portland.
No.
Enjoying their lovely coffee shops.
There's some East Oregon that is...
Yes, there
is. Is it a little different?
That's West Idaho is what that is.
The eastern reaches of the state are very rural, shall we say.
And so I'm really amazed that this is happening in that state. It's like, sure, Portland, sure, you know, not Portland. but I mean, like, that the rest of it is so conservative.
So early childhood advocacy groups estimate that there are just 3% of the nation's babies are in range of existing home visiting programs.
Oh, okay. So we're going to keep 3% of them. Well, that's a good ratio. Yeah.
But I mean, 3%, which is basically, what was it, South Carolina and Oregon?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
One of the Carolinas. Same thing. I don't know.
One of those.
Just lost one of our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, again.
Babies. Dogs
great.
And babies. Oh, so we've covered dogs and babies.
Yeah, Doc, you said babies are hard, but I tried sharpening my knife and it didn't work at all.
I tell you what. Babies are hard.
Dogs and babies. So let's move on to Mammoth.
Okay.
All right, we are on a theme.
My favorite sci-fi movie, Mammoth.
Mammoth.
No
idea what you're saying.
Mammoth. No. So before we get into this.
Okay.
Mammoth was a sci-fi channel movie.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Back when they had a $5 million budget and they said you have to put the name of the thing. It was like Harlequin romance novels.
Oh, okay.
Where there were rules.
Yes.
The rules were you have $5 million as your budget.
Yeah.
You have to have the name of the thing that's the monster. And eventually you have to show the monster eventually. That was the rules. You can spend most of the money on special effects. You can spend it on script. You can spend it on getting the right people. Tom Skerritt was in.
Oh,
but you know what? It was a hilariously good show, enough to where I had a party. And we projected it on the side of the house.
Sweet.
And watched it. And it was very funny.
It could have been Mammoth NATO.
I'm his best friend. I've never heard of any of this.
Okay.
Well, you were in Iraq during that time.
I don't know where I was.
Yeah. So a 7-foot mammoth tusk was unearthed in Mississippi, belonging to the largest species in North America. Now, is that true? Is that the largest species? Because they're dinosaurs in North America.
Well, of the mammoth or mastodon.
Mastodon. There we go. So a fossil hunter in Mississippi recently unearthed an intact mammoth ivory 7 feet long. So it's just the tusk. Believing it was the tusk of a mastodon, a far more common proboscidean in the area. Did I get it right? Proboscidean.
Proboscidean.
Okay, close enough.
Close.
Yeah. In the area.
Something with a big old nose.
Yeah, so Eddie.
Proboscis nose.
Yes.
Yeah, Eddie Templeton was nevertheless ecstatic to find one that wasn't fragmented. But it was only after scientists arrived from the Mississippi Museum of Natural History, well-known.
Oh,
Mississippi,
sure.
Well-known
for scientific breakthroughs. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
We're able to examine it. And
turns out we're all the same species. Who knew?
Wait, this happened 6,000 years ago? Anyway, we're able to examine it. No politics. No religion. Sorry. They were able
so
to.
So this one fell off the ark?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying?
So well done.
They were able to examine it, and that the former owner of the tusk became clear. It was the ivory of a Colombian mammoth, the largest mammoth in North America, and rarely documented this far. So.
You know, I think everyone would agree that the Colombian mammoths, by far the best mammoths.
They are the best.
Mammoths. The ones who sailed the ships across?
These are the best mammoths. There's no better mammoths than this.
Oh, we're glad this is an individual one.
You light up one of those Colombian mammoths, and man.
You know. You know you've been mammoth.
Yeah.
You light one of them up.
No wonder these are extinct. Woo! Woo! Yeah.
Hey, you know, if we've said tusk 100 times, can we do the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun?
Yes! Please tell me that's the closing song.
Boy, would that have been smart.
Oh, man.
Why did you do that?
Shit.
Add it in post.
You know what? Right here, we'll be hearing Tusk.
Okay.
All right. So,
Tusk. Don't tell me that you want me.
Real savage-like.
So, for my nephew who's listening, Tusk was the song that was made in the 70s. No.
With Fleetwood Mac and the USC Marching Band.
That's right. Yep.
The video on YouTube. Look it up.
So they ended up finding the teeth, jaws. Oh, he's also found mastodon teeth, jaws, saber-tooth cat gnashers, and other Ice Age treasures.
It actually says gnashers.
Saber-tooth cat gnashers.
That's one of my favorite teams.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of my favorite dishes.
Yes. Especially after I've had Colombian mammoth. I tell you.
Man, I got the munchies. Ooh. And the only thing that can fix that is some saber-toothed cat.
That's a Cajun dish, right?
Hey, that's good, yeah. I like that cat masher. It's so good.
Somebody is Googling that right now because we led him astray.
But the size, majestic curl, and rarity of the ivory surely places it not only amongst the most remarkable finds of Templeton's career, but among the most... state history, sure.
Yeah,
because it's the first time they recognize science. So, yeah. Okay, so Mississippi was home to 3 proboscideans during the last ice age. Mastodon, Gomphothere, and
the Columbia.
See,
that could have been a sci-fi film, too. Gomphothere! Exclamation point.
So all 3 produced tusks. Okay, none of this is important. Because what's more important was that this guy found it, and that's great for him.
I found a tooth.
What happened?
Let's write an article.
I found a big old tusk!
Other mammoth bits. The ivory was transported to the Museum of Natural History.
That's strange porn.
Yeah. After being covered in tinfoil. Tinfoil. Because it's Mississippi. I had to say it right.
Tinfoil.
Covered in tinfoil, slathered with plaster, and wrapped up in burlap. The technical procedure for exhuming a fossil from the ground.
Tastes great with sweet tea.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it was stuck in the mud.
Saber-tooth cat gnashers.
So it was stuck in the mud for over 10,000 years, allegedly. The tusk is well-preserved, but contact with oxygen can cause rapid deterioration. So once the covering is removed, a glaze rather like the kind used to laminate safety glass in car windows will be applied in order to put the ivory on display, slated for spring 2025.
Wow. Another reason to book that trip to Mississippi.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm here.
We're here for the science.
We're here to look
That's
at
right.
the tusks.
That's right.
We want to
right.
see.
Come for the science, stay for the saber-toothed cat
we
gnashers.
We all know that's a demon.
Y'all got 10,000-year-old elephants, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, so the last one, this one's tricky, so I'll go ahead and take the last one, too.
Okay.
The title of the thing is I Saw a Man Transform Before My Eyes. No, this yeah. isn't.
Okay.
This isn't some kind of...
cryptid?
Yeah. No. a band of brothers brings young men together with older men in their communities to provide positive role models.
Isn't that illegal?
Yep.
Okay.
The work centers around the careful manifestation of both compassion and accountability, Doug.
Oh, I misread it.
Yeah. And it's life-changing stuff. So the idea is, and I'm going to sum up on this instead, because the whole thing is done as this whole article is done as from one.
It's done as first person.
It's a first person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's hard for me to just say the words that this guy says.
Yeah.
The general idea is, you know, there was a guy who was on the wrong path and he realized that he needed help. He was a younger guy and someone offered him help, and it was a group of men. I know, once again, Doug, sounds dirty.
NAMBLA.
Yeah, NAMBLA. It's called NAMBLA. But it's the idea of saying
somebody pitched in for me, I'm paying it forward.
Yes.
Got it.
And so the whole organization basically just grew enough to where, you know, it's not just, oh, no, everything's going to be okay. It's also, you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not just for people who've kind of lost their way. It's for people who've really men who've really screwed up. And so these older men say, come on, you're going to be accountable. We're going to work with you. Just because this was your worst moment doesn't mean that has to define your whole life. And so then they all came together and helped people. And I mean, it says it's so tempting to dismiss men we dislike as toxic or irredeemable. But God knows most of us, male and female, have enough evidence to do so with the warm glow of self-righteousness, either to lock them away or exile them in our hearts and our communities.
Could you climb into the catapult?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, well, it'll be fine. So this person who's telling the story, you know, had a rough childhood, growing up with a violent mother, bad experiences at school, and he's seen the inside of a prison cell. So it's very interesting. So many times in life I see these organizations that happen, and usually they're started by sketchy people.
Oath keepers?
Yes, oath keepers. Yes, what is it? Full... What's the one with the arrows? Full quiver?
Yeah, full quiver.
Yeah, full quiver. But
this guy talk, I don't know anything.
Sorry.
About it.
Yeah.
You know, when you get your arrows and you get all the young men together and you set them straight and
yes.
storm
you
the Capitol.
You give them the talking stick.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I have the conch.
Yes.
That's right.
The tribe has spoken.
But yeah. it's good to see.
Sorry, pig boy.
I'm just saying that it's good to
Oh, wow.
Lord
of the Flies reference.
Thanks,
ladies
Doug.
And gentlemen.
Thanks, Woo! Doug.
Look it up.
Yep. But it's good to see that there's an organization out there, and hopefully there are more. Obviously, I don't want there to be just one organization. I like to see that there's a bunch of them that are reaching behind. It's like, yeah, I screwed up. We've gotten ourselves straightened out. Let's reach behind and continue to do that. And, of course, it's the other side, too. It's not just for boys, but it could be for girls too. Those are called nunneries. But
better to reach behind than reach around. That's what I always say.
Did you just make that up?
I did.
Marketing. Banter. Yeah, so that's great. So something that's come across recently, and everybody's kind of complaining about it right now, is there are changes to Patreon that are coming up.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, they
yes.
are.
I was not notified.
Well.
Notify me.
They said.
What?
You were told. No. So.
Is it like that email I keep getting to tell me to please update my business website?
Yes.
Because I'm not doing that.
No, no.
I don't want any more business.
No, what's happening with Patreon is they're changing the model a bit to where instead of charging per project, so let's say I would say you become a subscriber to us and you pay per
episode. Yeah.
Okay.
Right? And which a lot of people do.
Oh.
And even my wife, who has a Patreon account, she does by project. So by project, then people give to that, and you get good money. The other way is doing subscription, which is what we do.
Right.
Which is monthly, and say, pick the amount that you want, and we say thank you to you. They're moving to just subscriptions now.
Uh-huh.
Which makes things very difficult. In fact, Andrew Heaton was just here, and he talked about it earlier. It's like, yeah, this is going to make things more difficult, unfortunately. We're not... Here's the good news. We're not affected by that.
Right, yeah.
So if you
believe me, if you love one episode, you're going to love
them all.
You're
going to like them all.
They're all really amazing.
It's exactly...
Really
actually, it's all the same content. It's absolutely
It's the same four articles over and over.
You're just going to keep feeling good and good and good and better and better and better.
Yes. Yes. And so to do that, go to patreon.com/2beersin. Pick the amount that you want. Join up. There are extras that are with that. We appreciate whatever you can give us.
Now, a lot of Patreon things that I belong to, there's a set price.
Yes.
Not us.
Well,
I mean, we got tiers.
We have a set monthly.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But.
But if you want to give us more, we're not going to turn it down.
We are not complaining.
No. You can also, if you want to do one time, you go to PayPal, go to Venmo, 2beersin at weightlesspod.com.
You know what I found out this week? When you buy something on Venmo or you give someone money on Venmo, you actually have to push the button that says pay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Did that happen? Was that a problem?
That was a problem.
Okay.
Someone contacted me and said, hey, I thought you were going to join us for this thing. And I said, hey, I sent you my $75 deposit. And I went back and looked, and I had not hit the button pay.
Oops.
So I was kind of like, oh, wait, let me do that now. I blame sunspots.
Yeah, it's user interface error, not
yes.
you.
Yes. No, not me. Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yep. Nope. So thank you for whatever you can give. And, of course, send us email, too. We read all of it. And we
Brett does.
And we respond to some of it. So thank you. And, so closing song.
Okay.
Is not going to be Tusk.
Oh.
It's not going to be Tusk.
Okay.
Because I picked out something else.
But there's always next week.
Dun, dun, dun,
everybody.
Dun, dun.
No, it'll be in there.
Okay.
I'll lay it over the top.
All right. Okay.
So, or lay it under.
Okay.
We'll have two.
Yeah.
We'll lay under that Tusk.
So I don't think it's a surprise that I love postmodern jukebox.
Hmm.
And I found a song that does a happy version of a sad song.
Okay.
So
have a
listen to this. We thank you. It's by Postmodern Jukebox. I'm just going to play the song. But before we go, I've been Brett Weaver. I've been drinking a
back porch tea.
It's been very delicious.
See, I know that because I ordered it and I...
Yeah, she paid for it.
But yes.
And that's Monica.
I'm Monica. I'm having a dark and stormy.
And she knows that already because she also bought that.
I bought that.
And that's Doug over there.
And I don't know what I'm drinking, but I think it's a citrus IPA something.
There we go. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
With your feet on the air, your head on the ground. Try this trick and spin it, yeah. Your head will collapse, but there's nothing in it. And you'll ask yourself, where is my mind? Where is my mind? To me, swear he's trying to talk to me. Say, wait, wait, where is my mind? Nothing in it, and you'll ask yourself, where is my